All right, ladies and gentlemen, listen up. This is an awesome podcast. I can't wait for you guys to dive into this one. I love doing all of these podcasts. I hope that you guys enjoy listening to them. If you do happen to enjoy listening to them, share it with a like-minded individual. I don't charge for the podcast. You're not going to get a refund even if you didn't like it, because it's free to your device, whether you're listening to this on iTunes or Spotify. And all I hope is that you guys would share the show. Don't be a hoe. Share the show. I want to give a huge shout out to Racetech Suspension and Engine. Those guys are amazing. They helped me out in a big way. Looking forward to continuing to working with those guys in the future. And I'm getting my suspension done by them in the new year. The KTM is going to be sprung in a whole different way. No more air fork. Backyard design. No more going back and forth with a designer being like, hey, you didn't put that logo on the way I want it to. I don't like the color that you use for this particular panel. None of that. You do all of it yourself, and it's so easy to use. Even a bricklayer like me can figure it out. WeBig Moto Co., that's where you're going to find all of the amazing apparel with all of those logos that are clearly ripped off. I absolutely love it. They have zero fucks given to anyone who, any of these companies like Marlboro or Ferrari. They just put those on the website and they're for you to enjoy. Luxon MX. Improve your ride with Luxon MX, whether it's the linkage components or the triple clamps, or maybe it's just a set of bar mounts. You're going to have a much better feel of your motorcycle with Luxon MX. Same thing with WUSA. Let's be honest. The wheels that you're on your bike are probably egg-shaped, oblong, and looking pretty ugly. They'll be not looking so ugly if you get yourself a set of W wheels, and you can actually save, I believe it's 15% off of your wheel set by mentioning Big MX Radio. So I think, well, let's just say a set of wheels runs you about $1,000. That's $150 off, and that you can use that towards maybe getting yourself some Luxon clamps. Maybe you spend that money on some Fast Company handlebars. Good enough for the Bruff Brothers, which I'll be going down and hanging out with those guys in a couple weeks' time down in Mesquite, Nevada. Those guys run the Flex handlebars, and they go a whole lot faster than you. I can guarantee this, unless Ricky Carmichael are listening. I seriously, seriously doubt it, but welcome to listening to the show, my friend. Looking forward to having you on the podcast. Last but not least, Guts Racing, best seats out there. The seat covers, the complete seats. Honestly, one of my favorite things that I was able to do is get a complete seat for my motorcycle, and it was just plug and play, fit up immediately. Worked awesome with my graphic kit that I put on there. I did get a black graphic.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Big MX Radio Podcast. This episode is brought to you by Racetech, as well as First Form Energy, because I have two individuals on the podcast. They are both repeat offenders on Big MX Radio, and we are here to talk about the 2024 W Wheels USA World Vet Motocross Championships at Glen Helen. Let me introduce Sage Voda from First Form.
Right. What's going on, dude? I'm finally recovered. We're back.
Are we recovered? We're going to get to that. We're
recovered.
I would argue vehemently against that. Although I've already done two workouts since getting home, and also joining us on the line, he joined us on the trip. He was a late addition, but possibly brought the most amount of skill and ability, and definitely maybe the most viral clip. Aaron Nigley, welcome to the podcast.
What's up, guys? Only took me about 12 of these to come back to life after World Vets, but we're back in action, baby.
Absolutely. I think they might need to come out with a new flavor. Oh, like electric blueberry. He just like tastes like a defibrillator after that was needed when going to Glen Helen. So let's dial the clocks back a little bit. For those who aren't fully up to speed on all things First Form, Big MX Radio, mix in some verb as well in there. If you spin the clocks back 8 months ago, I don't even know how, but I kind of just came across, I think it was just a mutually followed or like a commented on post. Aaron, you commented on something. I'm like, wait, somebody aside from Andy Frisella over at First Form like has dirt bikes on their radar? And like, obviously, yeah. First Form is a brand that I've known for a really long period of time. But yeah, take me through, like, I reached out to you, like I literally slid into your DMs, and mm-hmm. now we're here.
Yeah, I it's kind of a little bit of a blur, but I want to say it was some sort of a comment, some sort of interaction on maybe Verb's post. And then there was a DM that started going back and forth. And from there, we kind of exchanged information about, you know, first form and who you are. Dirt bikes is kind of the consensus between the both. But yeah, it's been awesome. It's been quick. I can't believe it's only been like 8 months. But yeah, it's pretty cool to have a connection here.
Certainly. Yeah. No, brothers from another mother, who all just love motocross and dirt bikes in general. Sage, you jumped on board as well right away, as well as, Maddie Z. We'll talk about him a little bit as well. The five of you, including James and JT, you piled into one of your trucks, had a bike full of trailers on its way from Missouri all the way to Mesquite, Nevada for the Verb Moto Gypsy 500, which I think, like, up until then, that was the gnarliest event any of us had been to until this last weekend when we were in California. So maybe take us through that a little bit.
Yeah, so again, to you guys' point, it all kind of started with an idea that we threw out. A comment was made, and we actually, you know, were able to connect with you, Brad. And, you know, once we got invited out there, we did rent a truck. All five of us squeezed into an F-150, had a bike full of trailers to my stories post that went crazy, and drove 28 hours out to Mesquite, rolled up, rolled into practice. None of our suspension was tuned for anything desert off-road. You know, it was just kind of like show and go, but no, we had an absolute blast. We beat the heck out of ourselves and our machines. And, you know, really since then have just stayed in connection. I think, you know, we talk on a dang near weekly basis between all of us. And there's smack talk. There's, you know, there's highs and lows through all the conversations. But ultimately, that kind of led us into the opportunity, which brought us all back together on the West Coast riding again this last week. So it's been fun. I was just reflecting with the guys. I mean, I grew up riding, but I didn't have a bike a year ago, you know, and to come back through and get a lot of seat time and a lot of the bigger events has been fun, man. It's been really cool.
100%. Now, so I'll kind of give you a little bit of an insight as to how I knew that this was going to be a successful venture for the three of us, as well as just working with First Form in general. Like Andy Frisella, not a personal friend of mine, but has been a mentor of mine for the better part of a decade. I first stumbled across the MFCEO project, which was basically suggested to me from a good friend of mine who was actually my trainer at the time. Mark Lavallee, who I believe is a Legionnaire, if I'm not mistaken, or at least was at the time. And he'd basically, like, he'd started sending me some of these podcasts in the, like, I think, like, Andy was still in, like, the double digits of his podcast. This is prior to episode 107, which is my personal favorite. But I knew right away, if there's someone who's into moto, who works at First Form, they're going to be cut from a very special cloth to begin with. And they're going to be someone that I vibe with their energy that like, let's dream about something, but then let's also go do it. And, in a very short period of time, like the three of us have been on two of the coolest motocross trips that I've been on. Like if someone took their entire career and is like, they raced for like maybe 20 years, those two trips would probably stick out as like, those were awesome times. And we were able to make those happen right here, right now. And I think that just speaks to the volumes of the passion that you guys have for the sport and just your hunger for wanting to make those memories and conquer things. Aaron, I think you can speak to that a little bit of just like taking an opportunity and going ahead and racing it, regardless if you feel prepared to or if you've you've got a lot of experience in that area, because you guys weren't desert guys. You weren't like, and you showed up to the 500 and did it. Same thing with World Vets.
Yeah. I mean, I'll speak on it a little bit. Like to your point, it is crazy. It just starts with an idea and, you know, in the grand scheme of things, it seems like it's like a big task to kind of like, you know, set everything up. You know, you got to get the bike out there. You got to do lodging. You got to figure out how to get, you know, fuel and all your buddies and all the stuff out there. And it seems like a lot, but like, as soon as you just get started with it and just chug along of like, hey, you got the flight done, you got the truck done, you got the, you know, the rest of the stuff done. Like, it's really not that hard. And it was really simple, ended up being for this trip out to Glen Helen. I literally just told Sage at one point, like, it'd be cool just to go out there just to visit and just watch. And then I think somewhere along the line, Sage is like, let's just get a bike out there. Like, we have connection. Like, let's just get a bike out there. And so, you know, through you guys, through Hoppo, all of them, like, awesome to set that up. And honestly, like, reflecting now, like, it was super easy. Like, Sage helped me get the flight set up, got the flight done. Sage got the, you know, the hotel where we're staying at done. Like, dude, there's really not much more. And like, so easy. And yeah, to your point, like, just, you just got to go at some point and just make this stuff, like, just figure it out along the way. And that's kind of what we did. So super cool. Yeah, just kind of excited to talk more about it.
Sage, you were like you're all over this like a dirty shirt, man. Like, you were already going to be in California. So that lined up way too well. And yeah, a couple of days working from home, and a couple extra nights in a hotel. And Hoppo was nice enough. Andrew Hobson, great friend of mine, co-host for Racer's Mindset. He is the unsung hero of this whole thing, because if not for him, we may have been in attendance, but we wouldn't have had bikes to ride. Like, I was able to ride Hoppo's personal bike. He's got a SX300. Absolutely gorgeous machine. That thing rips. I think it might even have a little bit more under the hood than my bike. Which was proven when I went by you going up a hill. No big deal. but get on the gas a little bit more, Sage. But, take me through a little bit of just sort of like me putting a little bit of a bug in your ear, and the fact that you chose to completely neglect the fact that, or the tidbit of information that you had never raced a motocross race in your entire life prior to 6 days ago.
Yeah. Well, to Aaron's point earlier, you know, with these experiences that we're presented with, you know, it's so cool. And, you know, trying to get guys out there to experience, I grew up out in California. So, you know, being able, obviously, as everybody knows, like, so much moto culture and so much, you know, it's just like everybody's got each other's back. And that's a perfect example of this weekend. You know, everybody just offered everything, and you're able to talk to anybody in lines, different countries, different states. And it was really a good time, but I'm trying to make it as hard as possible for Aaron to say no, you know, to the experience. Like, here's what flight you need. I'll pick you up. I got the hotel, you know, like, let's figure it out. So, awesome. But no, I think inside of that, Glen Helen has always been on the list to ride. Definitely to Aaron's point, it was just something that, you know, wanted to make it to. I started hearing about it over the last couple of years, is, you know, just different riders, and obviously leaving college baseball and being able to just like open up to the world of moto, of like, oh, this event goes on and this event goes on, and just trying to get a lay of the land. And really had no idea. Like, I knew it was at Glen Helen, didn't know what track was going to look like, what it was going to be, never ridden there before. But after a couple of days at practice, you know, got used to the layout, just, you know, braking bumps, Mount St. Helens, all these components. To Brad's point, like, I race a lot of enduros, do a lot of hair scrambles. Everything's pretty much dead engine start out here. Never been behind a gate before. So as we're in the staging, Brad is there and hanging out, and, you know, I'm about halfway through staging, and it finally comes out. Truth is revealed that I've never had a gate drop before. So thankfully, Brad didn't. He just asked, hey, you know, do you want any pieces of advice? And as I told you, I'll take anything I could get. So about 15 minutes before, you know, click up into second, and we had the first ever gate drop. So pretty epic.
100%. I would like to know as to how you were able to manage the fact that every single one of your starts was worse than the one prior. Typically the progression is that we get better at things as we continue to do them, but yeah, your first one, where we might throw the video up on here when we do the YouTube version of this show, but you almost went 12 o'clock. You were looking like some of the boys in Baltimore heading down the street. You scared the living crap out of the Kawasaki riding next to you, number 313. Yeah. Take us through a little bit. Your first motocross race, you found yourself very lonely on the first lap of all three of your motos, but you were able to pick some guys off. Those are the experiences that make this race an aspirational race for those who haven't already been to it. Like, they hear about the fun that people have, and they're like, I got to get myself a slice of that.
Yeah. No, I think, you know, inside that, I was reflecting with Aaron as we were on the trip home, and, you know, just something we're just laughing and smiling about, a little bit of everything, right? And when it comes down to, like I said, like, I'm used to basically dead engine start and then not seeing anybody for 2 hours, right? Because everything gets so broken up, and, yeah, you know, you might pass a couple people in a different class, but, you know, we're 20 to 30 people deep inside of this, you know, my first ever gate start. And it's like, you get all the emotions, all the excitement, all the nervousness, like, don't screw this up. Ended up screwing all of it up. So, you know, like, you know, it's a giant step, and obviously just first time experiences, several first time experiences. But, you know, I think one of the coolest components is like how close you truly are. I mean, Talladega is one of the most infamous components of Glen Helen, and everybody just comes launching out. And I didn't go through as many tear offs, to your point, Brad, as I thought, because I had some pretty clean air the whole time. But the goal was like, hey, you know, going into it, I know it definitely wasn't going to be the fastest guy, but, you know, to the personal potential piece, like, hey, how can I just challenge myself, learn a little bit, you know, and just go pick a couple of people off. And luckily for me, I was just riding 25 plus novice, so exactly where I needed to be. And the novice class is just nothing but carnage, right? Like, nobody can keep it up. It's just, so I was able to fight my way back and get a couple of guys. But I think experience wise, and I told Aaron about this, but, you know, some of those motos, like, you have a couple guys, like a couple turns ahead, and you just like, you go head hunting, you know, and that's just one of the cool, arms pumped out, like, you're super fatigued, and you're like, how can I just hang on a little bit further, you know? And, you know, it's so rewarding when you do end up getting that guy, small little celebrations, like, all right, where's the next one, you know? And so it's just such a cool experience, you know, being able to talk to guys in staging, and it's just, it's something to the moto culture. But ultimately, like, for anybody that has the opportunity or might be a little bit nervous about going out, like, I can assure you, it doesn't get much worse than literally zero gate drops, never riding the track, completely new bike, and just showing up and having an absolute blast. Like, there's guys with license plates, headlights. There's dudes that, you know, like, duct tape boots, you know, like, we saw it all out there.
Oh, that one particular guy you're talking about was like, he was a one person microcosm of all the things that you can get away with rolling to the line. Aaron, I don't think you were biased at the time, but there was a gentleman. I'm going to say he was around 50 years old.
Uh-huh.
He was riding a 2000s RM250, no silencer, work boots with duct tape, jeans. That guy had, like, that guy's booty was too legit to quit because he had no belt. He's still holding up them jeans. He had a motocross jersey, but had a t-shirt that looked like a toddler's t-shirt over top of it, and a G-Max helmet, complete with a pair of X-Brand goggles, which might have been the most performance-oriented piece that he was wearing. That was eye-opening, to say the least.
Yeah, he also had the fenders, right?
Yes, black fenders that were spray painted yellow. That was over the top. But Aaron, like, you had never ridden Glen Helen. I'm actually the only one on the call that had ridden it prior to this, and that was quite some time ago. Take me through just sort of like the menace that is that track. She's a shape shifting son of a bitch that never really lets you get comfortable, especially for a guy who was typically riding. You ride a lot more moto than Sage does, but you're usually a Midwest guy. You're more clay and some harder packed tracks, yeah?
Yeah, I'm definitely more moto. I like the jumps. I like the motocross layout stuff, so that's definitely more up my alley. To be honest with you, I didn't do that much research on Glen Helen. All I knew is about Talladega, the infamous turn. And when we showed up there that first day for practice and you're like walking to the track, I mean, Sage, you can remember me saying this, like the hills, the up and down hills for Mount St. Helen. I was like, dude, that is gnarly. And you're, you know, a good distance away from the track, and all you hear is these 450s just allowing up this hill, like clicking gears off. And like, to know the sound of like what that would take to get a 450 up those hills, like, I'm like, these things are massive. And then you get up to the track and like, you actually get on the track, ride a couple laps. And that was honestly the gnarliest track I think I've ever rode on. And again, I'm from the Midwest, so everything's pretty much flat. Mm-hmm. So yeah, to have the elevation and then mix in like breaking bumps down a hill like that. super gnarly. But I mean, the track was sweet. Really super surreal to be on a track like that. Again, it was just a dream to be, just to go there and then to get to race it and ride it was, really, really cool. So yeah, I enjoyed every part of it.
What do you feel like was the most challenging bit for you? And what are you most proud of as far as like what you're able to accomplish over the whole weekend?
Oh yeah, for sure. So I said it to you guys a couple times Friday for practice. I would say the most challenging part was, I mean, this track is, you know, massive. I mean, some of the races had close to 100 people on it. You know, there's three gate drops. But Friday practice for me, the most sketchy and like, you know, most kind of nervous part of it was coming down the huge hills. I mean, cause you have braking bumps for that are already just sketch, right?
Yeah.
But you have multiple riding levels on the track at the same time. So I consider myself an intermediate rider. So I like, it's not my first time on a track at all, but like coming down a hill that's already sketch and you're catching people on this hill and it's like, they're a little bit more of a beginner and I'm catching these people down the hill, trying not to kill myself. I mean, that had to be the sketchiest part because you got to move over or you got to like dodge them, whatever it is. So I would say that was the most sketchiest part of the track for me and most sketchiest part of being there. Probably the most rewarding, is definitely rolling away Sunday from my last race because I literally almost killed myself, I think. Sage was fortunate enough to catch that on video, but, a little bit later in the day, track was rough. I think it was the first lap. So it really wasn't, I wasn't too fatigued, but.
Dude, you're sending it though.
Yeah. I mean, that was the only part of the track that I was pretty comfortable on. So I was trying to push through there and, ultimately almost pushed it over the front of the bike. So just happy to walk away from that. Happy to be home and not in the hospital. So yeah.
Yeah, no doubt. You were, race three in the program and, yeah, you sent it over top of that. There's a tabletop that goes onto the front straightaway that links up with Talladega and, yeah, you gave everybody a good look at the drain bolt, but usually that's with a whip, but you were doing it with, a trip to Indonesia that, yep. You were actually able to pull out of, and Hoppo was looking at it from the other end. So I, unfortunately he didn't get a video of it, but that was pretty wild. And I think honestly, I think we're all had to have the echo of the fact that we're all proud of we were able to just get through the weekend on a track that was pretty foreign to us. Sage, take me through just like, yeah, you were eyes wide open the entire time, soaking it all up. But just also the fact that you were able to sort of just digest the fact that you're on foreign soil, on a foreign bike, in a foreign discipline, but just embracing that chaos and thriving in it, dude. Like, you rode pretty damn well. In fact, I hate to say it, but I looked at lap times, and my fastest lap time, recorded anyway, was a 338. And yours happened to be a 335.
I mean, I think what's cool is like every day, yes, the track, there was different conditions and it was ever changing to your point, but we also got like three different types of conditions, right? Like first day,
never the same twice,
as much as possible. And then Saturday we had a little bit of rain overnight and then it was overcast. So we retained more moisture in the dirt, which definitely helped out. And then crazy gnarly winds, super dry conditions, like the typical Glen Helen from what I heard, right, going into Sunday. So, you know, just being able to, like, once you think you kind of know what the track's going to shape up to be, instantly changed. You know, like, turns are a little bit softer. It's, you know, wet. Okay, now you have more traction. Now there's less traction. You know, now we're jumping across in the last moto, jumping tables that, you know, the wind's blowing you up from a 40-mile-an-hour gust. So, you know, just kind of like, There wasn't, I'm fortunate to be in a position where, you know, I don't have too much to go back on, where everything's just kind of new from this point moving forward. So
ignorance, you know, like, is bliss.
Literally, right? Like every lap is a new lap for me. You know, like lines are ever changing because there is 60 people on the track at one time. Like there might be a rut there one lap and it's gone the next. You know?
So, only thing that was consistent were the holes.
Yeah, they were for sure.
Yeah.
Those weren't going anywhere. But no, I think inside, like just being, you know, like you said, foreign land, you know, foreign track, foreign bike, you know, truly, I just go back and I said this about the Gypsy and, you know, everything else that we've done kind of through the years. You know, I did just get the bike, get back into some consistency time over the last year. And, you know, for me, it's just like I just love being on the bike. Like, I don't set up a whole lot of expectations for myself to ride above my head or go do anything. It's just like, okay, cool. Here's the one thing I'm going to go out and try to focus on. And then as long as I walk away from that moto, you know, getting a little bit better and progressing, or, you know, finding different ways, breaking points and all the, you know, like that for me, there's just so much progress to be made that it's fun. You know, like I don't look down on it. The thing that did frustrate the heck out of me was that last start, man. Like,
you were visibly frustrated. I think you were inventing swears under the helmet. You're like, you gotta be kidding me.
Yeah. Make a mistake once, shame on me. But twice, man, I had to go back and, yeah, definitely needed some positive self-talk in the helmet. So,
how do you stall a 450?
I don't know, dude. I don't know. If it could be done, it's me, though. You know?
Yeah.
So,
were you somehow in like fifth gear, like take off?
I know.
Well, honestly, I think one of the things, like, you, because you wheelied on the first one, maybe that like kind of get, I wouldn't say gun shy, but you're like, oh, that was too much the first time. Whereas I think if you would have just left the throttle pinned or left your throttle in the same position you did the first one, but then just lay yourself over the bars and keep your weight forward, you would have been fine. But, I think you'll probably start behind the gate sooner than the next time that we're at World Vets. But, even if you don't, your next start at World Vets will be better than your last one was. So
something to work on in the off season, right?
Yes. So what were you most proud of yourself for, aside from, surviving?
Oh man, I think making the last moto. So this was kind of a funny story, right? But okay. I think we were a little bit worried based off of our flight times, because we had to be dropping off the rental in Ontario at about 3:30 or so at the latest, because I knew Sunday afternoon, everybody's going to be flying out. It's going to be busy, and, you know, didn't want to come back even later. So I was moto 4 of the day for my second moto on Sunday, right? It's a 3-race format, so got to go early. And then I was 13.
You were the fourth last moto of the day.
Yeah, right. And so we had gone down, met the owner of W Wheels and, you know, chatting with some of the guys, and we got up and got an update. And they were at like race 9, right about, you know, 12:30, 12:45. And so we did the math on everything, and, you know, we had everything packed up, and, you know, we gave ourselves a cutoff point, and we were literally in staging. They ended up throwing in an extra pro moto.
Yeah,
in
there. They're like, oh, we're going to run the pros too. You're like, good.
Awesome. Sweet. We'll see how this works out. But literally, like, I think the gate drops for our moto at 2:25, finished by 2:45, was in the car by 2:55, exactly where we needed to be. I told Aaron the night before, needed to be in the car and out of there by 2:45, and missed by about 10 minutes. But we got the last moto in. So I think, you know, just being able to have the complete experience was – definitely one of the cooler accomplishments. Took all the teamwork, man. Hop was over there taking the number plate off, like, Brad's back in the bag, shoving everything down. So
we're stripping you naked. You're like, not necessary. I need to wear something on the plane.
Yeah, that was one of the highlights for sure. That was cool.
Badass. No, I'm glad you were able to make. How much time did you guys have once you got through security and on the other side?
Before or after Aaron got stopped through TSA?
Oh, no. Here we go. we were good though. Yeah, just slight TSA security mix up there, something in the bag, but anyway, yeah, we had plenty of time to get a bite to eat and kind of just chill out for the flight back home, so it was good.
Yeah, you never want to be cutting her close when it comes to flying home, because otherwise, yeah, you guys have to get a hotel and then you're late for work the next day. Were both of you guys on time, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed first thing in the morning Monday?
I wouldn't say bushy-tailed, but yeah, we were there. I think I got like 3 hours of sleep before work on Monday, but yeah, we were there.
That was the consensus. I think I texted Aaron when we got back Monday morning. I think we were both 2 energy drinks deep by 10 a.m. so
oh, you guys are on the JT Thompson program. So, like, I had the two of you guys, but we were missing a couple of members of our five musketeers over at First Forum. Most notably, Matty Z. He was on the group, one of the group chats. We ended up abandoning that one based on his level of sadness of not joining. Yeah, he wasn't able to pull the trigger. Neither were James Lynch or JT, three guys who are absolute fiends for two-wheel exhilaration. I think at least for next year, we need to make it a full effort with, like, if we got two bikes to work with three guys, we can get four. We can get four bikes to work over the course of maybe of five for next year, and maybe twist Priscilla's arm and get him out there.
That's the goal. That's the goal. We got to get him out and get him on some seat time. But yeah, it was definitely, you know, we had the whole crew out there for the Gypsy and constant entertainment, the Octane Cowboy, and you know everybody in between. But yeah, we kept trying to twist Matt's arm about it. And, you know, unfortunately, he had some things to take care of. They're starting a business. And so he had to finish up some touches on that. And he's going down for surgery next week. So I was like, dude, you got to get some seat time in. But, you know, it's kind of one of those things where I think the experience that Aaron and I were able to have and coming back to talk to those guys, I doubt they'll miss on another opportunity. So.
Certainly. So if I was to touch on what I was challenged with the most and what I'm most proud of, I would definitely say just the challenge of like staying positive throughout a weekend where I didn't really, I rolled in with not nearly enough prep, both on the physical fitness side and the riding time wise between some of the trips that I had gone on with like going to the UK. I missed a bunch of time going to Loretta's this year. Just not as much seat time as I normally get or wanted to have prior to coming in. And then, when I rode out onto Glen Helen, I had not ridden a bike since September 8th. So that was like, I'm as rusty as I'm going to be at that point. I struggled a little bit with just like not feeling like, oh, I just want to get through this. So that, cause like, I just wasn't like, you know what I mean? When you're not properly prepared, you're just like, I want to put this in the rear view mirror and then start prepping for next year. And then at the same time, I'm like, you know what? No, I'm here and I'm going to like take any little amount of improvement that I get throughout the weekend. Like, honestly, I really enjoyed, and I'm glad that Hoppo encouraged me to go out for practice both Saturday and Sunday. Cause arguably that was the best track conditions that we enjoyed the entire time. Practice five, the track was absolutely perfect. Like, after Aaron and Sage went out there and took all the mud off for me. It was, yeah, the place was, Glen Helen's never smooth as glass, but it was as close to that as possible and, felt good. I was actually, I was 20 seconds faster on Sunday than I was on Saturday, for my best lap. So, nice. Yeah, there's a feather in my cap. And then proudest thing is just the fact that I was able to like consistently get better throughout the weekend and survive it. Yeah. Never put the bike down throughout the entire time. So, knock on wood. We did all right.
I think you said it best though. We went and we got to ride World Vets. I think that there needs to be some attention to race World Vets.
Completely agree. I was going to say, yeah, this year I rode it. Next year I'm going to race it. Sage and I, we're going to start with Aaron and give our thoughts on Mr. Niggly's performance. I'm going to go with, first of all, I was impressed with his style on the bike. Like Niggly has the look pro part dialed from the kit's always on point. He's got the Terminator lens on the goggles, even if that's not conducive to the light that he's dealing with at that time. It doesn't let that change his approach to the style side of things, and just your open mindedness to ride the event. Like I said, like no experience on that track whatsoever, you go out and did it. What do you think, Sage?
Yeah, I mean, I think the style thing most definitely is he's got that dialed. I think through the part, as you said, that experience where he almost went to Indonesia, right? I think inside of that, sometimes the speed, you know, and the confidence got the best of him. But no, other than that, man, it's always a blast to go out, you know, try to pick his brain on different components because there's things that, you know, he sees or, you know, obviously he got to be the spearhead in all of the practice sessions and everything. He was the first one to jump on the bike, go out and report. And so, you know, there's definitely no shame in jumping out early and giving us a scouting report. So that piece was great.
Love it. And so, Aaron, like, one of the things that I was always surprised to me is that you somehow look taller on a motorcycle than Sage does, mainly because he's usually got his butt on the seat. What were your thoughts on Mr. Voda's weekend of navigating the landscape that is Glen Helen?
No, I'm honestly super proud of Sage. Cause to me, like I said before, like moto style is kind of my thing. So, I got to remind myself that Sage is more of like, he likes the off-road style. He likes being in the woods and stuff like that. So for him to just want to just venture out and do a motocross race, not just ride a race, it's super cool. Cause a lot of people will just kind of stay in their comfort zone. I'm kind of bad about that myself. So to have Sage go out there, race event, you know, finish the event, and look super cool in the new kit that he had.
Oh, hell yeah.
I'm super proud of Sage. So I think he did awesome. And I can't wait to do more motocross events with Sage. So hopefully I'll turn him into an actual motocross racer. So we'll see.
Sage, have you been officially bit by the bug? Like, are we going to see you like maybe invest in a hole shot device? I don't think you're going to put the woods away, completely, but are we going to do a little bit more motoing now?
That's the goal. So I told Aaron this with the last, I think it clicked mostly with that last, with race three, but chasing and hunting that dude down and like being on the same track and seeing people in front of you through certain sections and knowing like where to kind of push through sections and stuff. Like I told Aaron, I was like, this is definitely more of an itch. And, you know, just the emotion, dead engine start, you're usually in some fields, right? And there's like some random dude with a board telling you guys to just cut all the engines. It's like, you get some of the, I don't know, the emotions going on, the nervousness and stuff, but like the whole gate experience, right? And like engine's already hot. Everybody's, you know, it's like, that stuff is sick, man. So I do think. I do, like I said, progression inside of the starts. I'll take anything that helps. That is a whole shot device. Brad, you'll have to let me know when I'm ready for that, but we'll get some stuff. But yeah, I think, you know, inside of just like, it's so cool to step into something new. And I truly am, as I've said, like I'm a blank slate. So I think like getting as much moto experience, getting woods experience, like I'm down for anything.
You certainly are, considering your very first motocross race ever was World Vets. I canvassed John from W Wheels. He couldn't confirm that was the first time someone had literally raced their first race at an event like that, or that event specifically. But I'm going to say it's pretty safe to say that you were that was virgin soil as far as the territory that you were in, as far as being the first time ever racing a dirt bike, right? Like in a motocross race. At World Vets. Hats off to you for that. And on the competitiveness side of things, like I've been racing since 99. I'm like I said, rusty and a shell of my former self on a dirt bike. But when I saw the 16 ahead of me, especially in the second practice when the 16 was actually behind me for a short bit and then in front of me again, I couldn't let that stand. Like, honestly, I was like, well within my comfort zone. And then I see this like blue streak go by and going up one of the hills. And I was like, well, that can't continue. I'm really glad that you had poor line selection leading into what ended up being the checkered flag. Because I'm like, all right, sorry, Sage. I'm going to take a much shorter route to the finish line here. And put you behind there, me big guy. So it felt like it shouldn't have felt that good, but it did.
Aaron, what do we got for Brad? We got any congrats?
I'll let you start with it. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah,
from the wardrobe changes.
Well, that's what I was gonna first compliment. There is any time that Brad gets on the bike, there's a different shade of goggles, there's a different tint, there's a, you know, like I think the one constant thing that he two constant things he did wear the same boots and he had the same helmet. Outside of that, you didn't know what he was going to pull out of the bag. You know, it's kind of like, you close your eyes and we'll wear this one and this one, and you know, he definitely had the Fox kits dialed there. So day three was definitely my favorite. That was you pulled some good ones out on day three. But no, other than that, I think one thing that, you know, I just had to throw in there, we were looking over the bike the last day and Hoppo almost immediately pulled out the dent that he had put in his pipe. And I know you kind of felt bad about that, but hey, it's bound to happen. But no, it was so cool. I mean, just following you around, getting introduced, being able to record a lot of the content and just seeing your enthusiasm. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, hey, we'll go by. And I would sit coming back from a moto or a practice, and it's like, man, between, Hoppo and you, the amount of people that stopped by and had awesome things to say, the connections that we were able to make, it's so cool. Cause that genuinely is what it's all about, and just making new friendships, going out and riding with your buddies and seeing other people on the track. It was rad.
I appreciate that, boys. And yeah, like, I think what I hope to do with First Form and the two of you and the whole crew over at First Form is the same thing that I do with the Big MX Radio audience. If I can take my audience and First Form beyond the velvet rope and show you how amazing the sport of motocross truly can be, that if you don't have a bike, no problem. There's people there and within that community that are more than willing to help and more than willing to provide that experience, and it's an encouraging and welcoming crowd that really does just want everyone to be able to experience how awesome the sport is from a speed, the sound, the smell, the whole deal, especially at a track like Glen Helen, which is so iconic. It meant a lot to me to be able to share that with you guys and just kind of take a few moments just to watch you guys just soaking it all in. That was really cool for me. And, like that's what I try and do every single week here with Big MX Radio, is just take my audience a little bit further behind the curtain and keep that, the sport top of mind for them so they can continue to enjoy it.
Well, we appreciate the heck out of it. It was cool. Yeah. It was awesome. It's an experience worth a million words. And I think as we sum this, kind of looking through like all the trash talk, all the excitement, all the highs, all the lows, all, the body struggles. I think, the first day we were all kind of wrecked, and then it was this weird dichotomy because like you almost felt better, but worse, through every day. Right. But ultimately the biggest thing in talking through the, it is simply an experience, and it's something that you have to find a way to go grab some buddies and get out and go, find a bike. But the biggest component that I would say out is you don't have to be, the fastest guy out there, like the Alessis or the Mike Browns or anything. Like, it is most definitely possible, even if it is your first gate drop, you will go out there, you'll have fun, and you'll get to experience something that you've only thought about. So
certainly. So Aaron, safe to say, you've already punched your ticket for 2025.
Yeah, I think we definitely need to get, World Vets on the book for next year in 2025. And I literally, after the weekend was done, I told Sage, and I'm like, dude, we've done the Gypsy, gnarly. We've done Glen Helen, gnarly. Like, what other events could we possibly hit that,
Maniacs, Herzberg, Rodeo.
Search out the most gnarly events out there. So if there is another gnarly event that contains dirt bikes, we probably need to find out about it because we'll probably hit it up. So we'll find out.
I love it. Yeah, it'll only be a matter of time before Sage is lining up for a 250 C class area qualifier for Loretta's and just making the taking the First Form rig down to Hurricane Mills. Sage, you want another crack at Glen Helen or what?
I'd take another crack at Glen Helen. Absolutely. I told Aaron this, but being in a spot where, all right, I know kind of the format, general format, know what the track looks like. Definitely know what I need to work on, but even just the conditioning piece and seat time, especially leading up to it. I was traveling basically the entire month of September. I rode an enduro the week before, and so had a little bit of seat time, but realistically a whole another year with some seat time underneath the belt. It would be fun to actually go back and kind of push the envelope a little bit and have some fun out there. So yeah, I'm down. I'm game.
So I think that the only way to properly prepare for Lorette or for World Vets or even to go to Glen Helen again would be to put Supercross suspension on our bikes and then wait until after a complete race day is completed and then go out there with basically struts for suspension and try and navigate I truly feel every time I went out there, someone took a grenade and just threw it randomly into like a straightaway where I didn't know where it might be. Like there was a curb halfway up Mount St. Helen on the Saturday that like, I'm like, where does this, they know they groom it and the thing is smooth as it uncovers itself like clockwork. And if your back end hits it just right, you can somehow go over the bars while going up a hill. That's a special experience right there.
It's like a minefield, to your point. You don't know what you're getting over the next face or on top of a, tabletop. And then on top of that, they're spraying certain sections and it's just
with
like
water.
Over some hip jumps and it's like a sheet of glass, right? Sweet. So yeah, it's almost like a game of Mario Kart out there. You're just trying to navigate and survive.
Yeah. No, the slippery spots weren't just in our pit area where there was banana peels everywhere. There was also quite a bit of first form product. Like you guys were first form kind enough to send a little package along with it. We had the protein, the clear, as well as we had the only thing we didn't have was the protein sticks. I was bummed about that. But Sage, what did we have on the menu to keep us recovered and ready to rip for that event? We also had the energy drinks as well, which I had my share.
We cruised through the energy drinks. Let's be real. Yeah, we went through those things for sure. But I threw in just a couple of things kind of geared towards obviously what I thought we would experience through the weekend. Inside of that, definitely had some hydration sticks and, wanted to keep the electrolytes going. Although it was still in the, 70s, it was great conditions. You're out there even on practice for Friday, like they're 30-minute practices. So, you're definitely wanting to make sure you're hydrated. Introduced Brad to Ultraformance. So that's more of a kind of an intro workout, pre-workout, but basically it's just a mixture of simple and complex carbs with some electrolytes. It's more of a fuel source, right? So it's one of those things that you're going to get, quick fuel through the simple carbs, something a little bit sooner at the beginning of the moto. And then you also have more complex carbs, which is just going to slow down, break down a little bit slower there, especially towards the back end of those 30 minutes. So we would mix that up before and then after. And I think all of us were slamming the new clear protein, the strawberry limeade. We'd throw a little bit of carbs in there, some Ignition, a couple scoops of that. With some ice cold water, and that was like the Southern California treat. That was so refreshing. And it, honestly, just when it comes down to like digestion rate, like of course we had to go get our in and out afterwards. We had to go, make sure we were getting some food one day. Again, SoCal special, but outside of that, like that's something that every time that we're out riding motos, like that's the first thing we go back to the truck and do is we slam some Ignition, some Formula One, and get ourselves recovering. So that was kind of the game plan. Now I know we're going to have to throw in some protein sticks for Brad next time. Stay, stay fed, get our protein in. But outside of that, we kept it pretty simple, man. It's like mostly just geared towards pre-moto fuel, post-moto fuel.
Awesome, guys. Well, I really appreciate the both of you making some time for the podcast, giving the Big MS Radio faithful a little bit of a rundown of how things went and how things will be next year when we tackle the very same event. Sage, did you check out your results overall and all that fun stuff?
Yeah, I don't remember exactly, but I was I think I ended up overall like 26th or 27th overall.
Okay.
So I think it was a class like 35 or 36. So wasn't that my goal for the weekend was not to be dead last. That was my goal. So mission accomplished.
You beat 8-10 guys that had raced a dirt bike on a motocross track before. So that, there's a feather in your cap. What about you, Aaron?
I think we checked. I think I was somewhere in the 30s, somewhere in there. I finished somewhere in the 30th. But to be honest, I raced 30 plus intermediate, and I'm pretty sure, well, I actually looked after Saturday, dude, like the top 10 people, all from SoCal. So I'm like, dude, I don't even feel that bad. Like half these people like ride here probably like every single time that they ride. So,
absolutely.
Some of those guys should have been pro class, I feel like too. So I just finished. So that's all that matters for me.
100%. Now, before we hang this up, I think we do need to talk about the classes themselves. And this is not something that Glen Helen or W or anyone can really, they can't really govern this because there isn't quite a, like it's the old West, because it literally is, the track is one of the oldest tracks in the world, and we are very much West Coast. We chose what classes we were going to be in. I figured I race intermediate up here in Canada, so I entered myself in the intermediate class here, thinking that in my heart of hearts, I am not a novice. In my mind, a novice is someone who started racing in the last 3 to 5 years, maybe 3 to 5 months. Mm-hmm. But couldn't be further from the case, because let's just look at lap times from, let's say, second moto of your class, Aaron. Fastest lap time, Eric Rizzo, 3:07 was his fastest lap.
Uh-huh.
That guy was clipping. But if you also look at the 30 novice, okay, that's over the top. 30 novice, that guy's fastest lap time was a 2:59.
Sandbag.
you're 8 seconds faster?
Yeah.
To win the novice class? Here's what I think happens, honestly, is that you get guys who, like, this might be the only time they race all year, or they don't race in California that often. Like the guy from what's NA as a, the guy that must be, what, there's, is Nebraska NA? No, they're NB. I think people just I don't want to be say if I should race the intermediate class, but I don't want to get 11th. I'd rather get first in novice. And that just keeps happening. So you just keep pushing people further and further down the leaderboard. I was racing against guys in the plus 35 intermediate class, not to besmirch the good name of Ben Griffith. And he is currently in Florida wrenching for, the one, the only Joe Shimoda, but his fastest lap time of 3:06. If he was racing the expert class, he would have been third.
That's wild.
You know what I mean? The front of every pack is basically this 3 minute mark.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone else sort of just kind of shuffles themselves through. So, anyway, guys, this is that's sort of my thoughts on how the classes were set up. Sage, I think you were in the right class.
I nailed it
on the class. Maybe not so much myself, but I'll be in 35 intermediate again next year. I think my results will be in the teens, not the 20s and 30s like they were this last weekend.
That's, but I mean, even Balake, they came out and rode with us. You know, he's like, yes. Hey, I'll start in your class, and we went out for practice. I'm like, this kind of rips. You know, I think the intermediate probably would have been great, but he just wanted to show up and ride with us. But to your point, I don't know how you regulate it. I mean, you definitely have to have some more systems in play. So, I mean, it is what it is. Like, at the end of the day, I guess all of us just need to be faster, right? Simply put. But no, I do think inside of that, you just have different regions. You know, Aaron rides a lot. He'll go out for AB practice for ride days and everything out here. And it's it's just completely different when we can ride, to your point, Brad, of, you know, even being up north there, you might get May through September to ride fairly consistently. Yeah. And then outside of that, everything's frozen. It's freezing. It's muddy.
Hockey season.
Yeah. So, you know, it's so hard, especially for the world vets, to be this is a fair assessment of the class. But other than that, I think just the overall event ran smooth. You know,
We
knew where it needed to be time-wise. Other than a couple crashes up Mount St. Helens and a couple little things, the event went super smooth for as many people as you're coordinating and classes and gate drops and everything. They had it dialed. So
over 1,000 racers. And everything went based off of that, the event ran like a Swiss watch. I always just gave more time. I was probably up for staging earlier than I should have been, but I never missed my gate, never had a hard time. So, it was pretty easy. So, hats off to the whole event. Can't wait to go back next year.
Be fun.
Absolutely.
All right, boys. Well, really appreciate the time. Can't wait to plan the next trip. Thinking maybe two-stroke cup. Maybe it's going to be the Lincoln. brought to you by Moto Playground. But either way, we'll be there, smiles on our faces and throttles in our hands.
Let's do
Thanks
it.
Thanks so much, Brad. Appreciate it.
Cheers, boys.